Acts chapter 2 this morning. We're going to talk for a bit this morning about fellowship. God yesterday put that word on my heart as we were all around here working and having a good time and enjoying one another yesterday. Because when I left here yesterday afternoon, frankly, I had no idea what I'd be preaching about this morning. It didn't take him long to tell me. This thing of fellowship is mentioned several times in the Bible. Not a great deal. Not as much as fear and some of these other words, but it's used. It refers to fellowship with God, to fellowship with Christ, fellowship with the Holy Spirit, fellowship with other believers, and fellowship with unbelievers, and how we're to handle those relationships. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, now this is at Pentecost. This is the first time people were saved and empowered by the Holy Spirit. And 3,000 people were saved that day with Peter's sermon. And Peter had been the one that just a few days before, you know, had denied Christ. Said he didn't even know him. So you see, when Christ in the court hall looked across the fire at Peter, it changed Peter's life. Now he had been traveling with Jesus for 3 years. But the night of the Lord's Supper, the last night that Jesus lived, he made a comment to Peter, and he said, "Peter, when thou art converted." So you see, at the Last Supper, Peter wasn't a Christian. I believe it came when he denied Christ. Christ told him he would, and he looked across the fire and looked him square in the eye, it said. And it said he went away sobbing, very sorrowfully. So, in verse 38, Peter is preaching to the crowd that gathered there at Pentecost. And he said in verse 38, "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized." That is the call for today, folks. We've taken this thing and changed it all the way around. Whenever folks get a hold of something, they always goof it up a little bit at a time, you know. It's like I said, when they take the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings and put him on a cross and crucify him, and he rises from the dead in 3 days, give him 2,000 years, and folks will be celebrating with Easter bunnies and colored eggs and baskets. That's our nature to do that. But he said the same thing that we need to be preaching today. And somebody says, "But that is not a seeker-friendly message." No, it's not. But I tell you this, the first man that preached it, 3,000 people were saved right in front of him. So I say to you, that seeker-friendly idea is something that comes out of our head, not from God. Because he's going to do what he's going to do if we do what he tells us to do. "Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Hadn't changed a lot, has it? All around, everywhere we look, there are ungodly people doing ungodly things and offending God in all kind of ungodly ways. "Then they that gladly received his word," verse 41, "were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." Now the key verse in this context is the next verse, the one I want you to draw attention to. "And they continued steadfastly." Now this is the initiation and origin of the first local church, if you will. And this is a description of what that local church was involved in. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine or teaching and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in power and in prayers. You get that? We have evidence in the Word that the early church was involved in fellowship, prayer, preaching, doctrine, divine illumination, which is what I said a while ago, revelation, where God comes in through the working of the Holy Spirit in your heart and turns that light on. And you say, oh yeah, I've been reading that verse for 40 years and today I first understood it. Today was the first time I ever understood it. Divine illumination, baptism, the Lord's Supper, miracles and joy. Miracles and joy. You know, in Timothy, he says in the last days there will be people in church who have a form of godliness, but they deny the power of it. This early church had miracles. I believe they were supposed to have them today. I believe if we follow the Lord like we are supposed to, like He asks us to, I think we'll continue to have those. What's this word fellowship? Well, I looked it up. There's about 6 or 7 Greek and Hebrew words that are translated this, but essentially the words that describe it are this: belong to, be a partaker, co-participate, share, associate, hold in common. And this was what the early church was involved in before people started changing. Today, sometimes it's hard to find a church with joy. Sometimes it's hard to find a church with miracles. Sometimes it's hard to find a church with divine illumination. But this is God's perfect will for all of us that are born again believers to be involved in a church like this. In 1 John, turn over to 1 John chapter 1, way back over in the back. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 1. John, the brother of Jesus, says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the Word of Life. In other words, John says, all those things that have been going on in a Christian's life, we've seen it all. We've seen it, we've touched it, and it's real. It's not just an idea. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There's that fellowship again. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declared unto you, that God is light and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. Now, John, in his little books in the last over there, is the only one that really comes out that I know of and just lays it on folks. If you say this and you do this, you're lying. It's not the same. You're saying one thing and doing something else. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses from all sin. Now, what is this fellowship He's talking about? We have fellowship with God if we walk in the light. How do you walk in the light? Well, He tells us in the next verse. If we say that we have no sin but deceive ourselves, then truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word's not in us. Now, not only if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, if we act like we're not sinning. My youngest went to John MacArthur's Master's College in California, and she said one of the neatest things in the orientation, they said, "We promise you something as professors and teachers in this school. If y'all won't waste our time trying to prove to us how good you are, then we won't waste your time trying to prove to you how good we are." Because you see, they call Jesus good. And what did He say? "Don't call me good. There's none good but the Father." So you see, we've got a problem. How do we walk in the light and have fellowship with God and the Son? We confess our sins. That's what He said. We confess our sins. If we confess our sins, we walk in the light as He is in the light. Now, we've still got the old sin nature, folks. Born-again believers still have the old sin nature. They still mess up. They still sin every day. And we need to understand that. That's a part of our lives. It came with the body, and we'll have it until we get away from this body. And the only way we can do that is for our spirits to leave us and to go to heaven. We need forgiveness for sins. The way we walk in the light and have fellowship with God and the Holy Spirit and God's Son, Christ, is by constantly confessing our sins. Now, there's a way that we can keep from having a break in our fellowship with God, and that is to immediately confess our sins as soon as we realize we've done them. Somebody asked me one day, says, "Brother Joe, how often do you have to confess your sins?" "Once a week, once a month." I said, "I don't know about you guys, but I have to do it 17, 18 times a day. Because, I mean, I'm telling you now, I've learned about me, and I'll mess up every time I open my mouth just about. And then I have to sin when I don't open my mouth because my heart's thinking things that I don't need to think. So I'm constantly asking God, please to forgive me, not only for what I do," and that's what people are so messed up about. They think sin is about doing. Sin is not about doing. Sin is about being. It's about our heart. I am what I am, a sinner, even when I'm not sinning. I've got to ask God to forgive me for the nature of my heart. But through that, He's able to restore fellowship with me. And I have the power that He wants me to have. I have the influence with others that He wants me to have, and I have influence with Him. Turn back to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. We've talked about fellowship with God. We've talked about fellowship with Christ. We've talked about fellowship with the Holy Spirit. We've talked about fellowship with other believers. He said if we stay confessed up, we won't have any trouble with each other. Because His Spirit in us will work in us to put others ahead of ourselves. Nobody gets mad at somebody that's constantly putting other people ahead of themselves. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. So what does He say about unbelievers? "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness?" You see what He's saying here? When you become a new creature, you like different things. Your sensitivities change. Your insensitivities change. There's a lot of things now as a Christian with an indwelling Holy Spirit that you used to think was okay. You know it's not okay now. And you don't tolerate it in yourself, and you would prefer not to be around people who do. He says in verse 15, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial or with Satan? Or what part hath he believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Now let me tell you, folks, these folks that have been around here regular, they understand exactly what we're talking about. For folks that hadn't been here, let me tell you something. When Jesus died on the cross, and that curtain into the Holy of Holies in the temple was rent, when he went in and cleaned the temple out a few days before, God quit living in the church. God quit living in temples. Nowadays, he lives in us. God's church today is not the tabernacle, and it's not the temple, and it's not the church down the street. You know, I've told this several times when talking about fire and Christians. When Ashby Baptist Church burned, I was teaching adult Sunday school class. I had the awfulest time trying to explain to some of those folks how God hadn't been hurt at all. Their relationship with God was dependent on that little building on the hill. And some of them were just absolutely distraught. And I told them, Jesus said, if they say the kingdom of heaven is here, don't go. If they say it's over here, don't go, because the kingdom of heaven is in here. You take it wherever you go. Wherever you go, you bring the church with you as a born-again believer. And when you go to a person who doesn't know you, you introduce him to the church of Jesus Christ and let him know that you are there with the Holy Spirit, this other form of God, a piece of God himself, that God has given you to work the works of Jesus through your activities. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Now, there's something you need to understand about idols if you don't. Every time idolatry is mentioned in the New Testament, it is mentioned alongside covetousness. Idol worship in the New Testament is not carving a big-bellied figure like Buddha and falling down in front of him and worshiping. Idol worship in the New Testament is putting something between you and God. It can be a hobby, it can be a job, it can be greed, it can be all kinds of things. But anything you put between you and God that keeps you back from being all that God wants you is an idol. And what he's saying is, what does the temple of God, whom you are, has to do with people who worship idols? We've seen before that the earth, to be friends with the earth is to be an enemy of God. And you know the earth is all about grabbing all the gusto you can, being all you can be. And what was it? Grabbing all you can, putting it in the can, and setting on the can or something like that. I don't know, where nobody else can get it. But I had a guy tell me one time, a Christian man tell me, he said, you know, if I wasn't a believer in Jesus Christ, I'd be stealing all I could get my hands on, because I wouldn't know that I got to stand before him and justify those things that I've done here on this earth. For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Let me ask you this. If God is living in you and you are his church, do you cuss in church? Why would you want to say something then when you got it to church with you? You see what I'm saying? There is a special thing that God is with you all the time. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. In Ephesians chapter 5, and you don't turn there, it says, be not therefore partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, so walk like it. Walk as the children of light, is what Paul is saying in Ephesians. You once were like them, now you're different. You need to walk like it. There is another real problem, is when in our zeal in the church to have But in other words, when we think that a church is supposed to be concerned with numbers, we're supposed to be as big as we can get, and whatever we need in the way of Taco Bells or aerobics on Thursday night or diet classes or whatever, to try to bring people into the church other than with simply Jesus Christ and preaching Him, is when we allow people who are not born-again believers to be part of our church. How many times have you seen a vote come up in church when the devil's folks on this side voted against the Lord's folks on that side? I've been involved remotely or right in the middle of two or three church splits, and that's the way usually it is. People are voting for God and people are voting against God. And that happens when people who are not born again become a member of a church. And we need to be very concerned about that. So you see, it said back there in the scripture, the first scripture we read in Acts, and God added to the church as daily as them that should be saved. He's in the business of doing that. That's the reason we don't have any membership drives around here. That's the reason we don't prize or try to leverage anybody into coming to church. We figure when the God gets after you to go to church, like the man Buddy was talking about, he's never been to church in his life, never wanted to be in church, but now he's saved, you can't keep him back. He wish it was a church on Saturday night. If he was, he'd probably go. It's impossible for God to fully bless any of us, bless and fellowship and use us, unless we stay in a confessed state and we're not in a state of compromising with sin. He says back in Psalms that if a man leave sin in his heart, then I won't hear him. So all you've got to do is to know that something's wrong in here and you don't get it out. You pet it, you water it, you fertilize it, and you keep it in there. You got an aggravation about somebody and you keep thinking about it and you don't want to forget about it. You want to keep thinking about it and keep your attitude that way, so if you ever get a chance, you may be able to get them back. I mean, we live like that. And God says when you're like that, you can pray all you want to. I'm not going to listen to it. So, we fellowship with Jesus, under God, through the Holy Spirit, with each other, with joy. That is what the church is supposed to be all about. Those few simple things. And Paul says, I pray that you will not miss the simplicity of the gospel. It's not all about fancy. It's not all about programs. It's not all about busy, 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 busy. Never mistake in the activity of Christ activity for achievement. Sometimes folks are just stirring up dust. They're really not getting anything done for God.